Joined the Green this week by contributor John Hurdle, who took some time to look into the state of aquaculture in the first states. John, we appreciate you taking some time to look at this. We appreciate you being with us on the Green this week.
You're welcome, Tom.
So for those who aren't familiar, what does the aquaculture industry actually encompass?
What it means is raising shellfish like oysters and clams and finfish under controlled conditions. And so that would include raising the shellfish in cages in the inland bays. And that is all of that is as distinct from commercial fishing for wild fish that run free in the ocean.
Delaware started taking a serious interest in this back in 2013 when it authorized Denrec to oversee its development and manage lease areas in, as you mentioned, the inland bays. Where does the industry stand now in the first state, and how does it compare with neighboring states, which we know from some of our previous reporting had gotten out in front of this before Delaware?
Well, the big picture is that the numbers are creeping. The numbers of growers is creeping up, but the overall level is still very low compared with other states. The state issued its first lease in 2017. It made its first the commercial sale of, or I should say, commercial growers made their first sale of aquaculture produce in 2018. By the end of 2019, according to Denrec, there were just four growers in the state, and now the number is up to about 11. Just to put that in the context, wider context of neighboring states. In New Jersey, for example, the figures from back in 2016, there were 19 farms producing 2 million oysters there worth about $1.4 million. In Maryland, data from 2018 indicates that aquaculture industry is worth about $8 million and supports about 130 jobs. And so I think that those other state data are obviously not completely up to date, and so I think we can expect that there will have been further growth since then.
So Delaware obviously would like to try to maybe capitalize on some of the energy these other states are seeing. Well, what are some of the reasons why it has been slow in doing so, slow in developing this industry?
As you mentioned, that there was no law kind of facilitating the industry until 2013. Since then, apparently the permitting has been kind of slow, both at state and federal levels. There has also been some opposition from owners of waterfront properties who feel that setting up aquaculture farms in the inland bays area is some kind of an eyesore, maybe a threat to boating or recreational fishing. And as a result of that, Denrec when it set up a series of lease areas in the inland bays excluded some waters in deference to those residents' concerns.
So you were at this online forum this week on aquaculture. What are some of the ways the experts there and those in the business in Delaware feel that the state can make up the gap with some of these other states and kind of get on track and realize the economic potential that we heard some other states are yielding from this?
As we said, the state has set a number of lease areas. There's actually a total of 51 acres in the inland bays that are currently leased. Now, I mean, that should be put in context of a total of 343 acres which are available to lease. So that right there is a snapshot that there's significant room for growth in this industry. The state has also established these things called shellfish aquaculture development areas, they make those available in lots of up to 5 acres per grower. And you can see those as any grower who applies for any of those leases would be kind of on a fast track to get a permit, because the growers are not required to take space within those development areas. But if they opt to take space outside them, then they will be subject to a longer permitting process.
So some of those already operating in Delaware were also part of this week's forum. What kind of lessons did they offer about getting into the aquaculture business and capitalizing on its potential?
Well, some of the advice that was offered is probably applicable to many other kinds of small businesses, but the people that spoke offered advice which included being adaptable, you have to be prepared to work hard in all weathers. But rather more positively, they urged anybody who was considering getting into this business to bear in mind that there is actually a big demand, big consumer demand these days for fresh, locally produced food. And so that was seen as being a very strong selling point and a way in which small local producers are actually in a position to compete with bigger companies. I mean, the other thing to bear in mind is that one of the speakers was talking about how he didn't have any prior experience of the aquaculture industry, and so it was a matter. So acquiring the skills that he needed to get his business up and running was partly a matter of trial and error and kind of learning on the job. And he said, well, one of the comments he made was, well, thank God for YouTube videos of people who have tried and apparently succeeded to get into this business. And so he said that he needed he acquired some of his skills that way.
You mentioned that the local demand piece of this, and I guess that and how that makes it a little bit attractive. I mean, I guess what you're saying is that you can do this business, and you don't necessarily have to like really scale it up to a large size where you're connecting with larger retailers. You can keep it kind of homegrown, and it works.
Well, that's what some of the speakers were saying, and it was particularly striking that they had been able to make it work even during this year of severely disrupted markets because of the pandemic.
I was going to say, like everything else, aquaculture has been hurt by the COVID-19 pandemic. Has that set the industry back a lot, or is that damage likely to be long term or just kind of a short term hiccup?
Obviously we're beginning to see people getting vaccinated now. We're hoping that the pandemic, of course, will retreat as a result of that. And so I think there was actually a surprising amount of optimism on the part of some of these speakers at the forum, in which they said that, their businesses had done well even under these very difficult circumstances, and that was one of the reasons why they were very bullish about the potential of this industry in Delaware.
I mean, if you're talking about like the homegrown demand for it, a lot of that would be restaurants. So I guess there is some concern for a grower. If restaurants are closed, they don't need as much of my stuff. So I guess if they can get through this and the restaurants start opening again, that market reopens for them.
It does indeed. And another point that one of the growers raised was that he'd been selling his oysters through a storefront. He has a part of his company as a retail outlet, and he said that had been so successful that he, in fact, didn't need or even want to start selling his oysters through to a wholesaler, because the demand apparently was so strong directly to the consumer.
Interesting. One thing that we haven't talked about is another draw of the aquaculture industry, and that's the environmental angle. Can you tell us a little bit about that, why people find that a particularly appealing piece of this?
Well, yes. Conservationists will tell you that oysters are very good filters of contaminants from water. In fact, one adult oyster is apparently able to filter about 45 gallons of water per day. That will remove things, including nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus, which contribute to the harmful algal blooms, which are an increasing problem in Delaware's lakes and bays as the climate starts to warm.
So pulling it all together, from what you heard this week, is there reason to think aquaculture is eventually going to reach its potential here, that it can get there?
Clearly there's spare capacity out there, purely in terms of the of these lease areas that the state has provided. There are opportunities for folks to get in on the ground floor there. One of the other appeals, I think, of this industry, and this is one of the things that came out strongly during during the forum, is that no experience is necessary. I mean, two of the speakers had a background in the hotel industry, but then they liked the idea of getting into the aquaculture business, and in fact are in the process of making it work. It should be noted, one of the calls that they made was that their life would be a lot easier, they said, if there was more commercial dock space provided somewhere around the inland bays, so that the aquaculture industry wouldn't have to kind of come into contact with recreational docks, which may antagonize people who are recreational boaters or fishermen or whatever.
Certainly worth keeping an eye on. John Hurdle, we appreciate your reporting on this. Thanks for being with us this week.
Thanks, Tom.